Batter Up. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 133 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hello, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison. Hello, Linda. Hello, Maggie.
We have quorum.
We have quorum. We're all here.
Yay! Hooray.
We may now amend the Apato Constitution.
We brought, for the last show before the All-Star break, we brought all of us on to record this week. So very exciting times. We brought us on to talk about the Mets and talk about All-Stars and the All-Star game and all of that good stuff. First, we'll talk about, before we get to All-Star specific stuff, we'll talk about the Mets more generally. The Mets took 2 of 3 from the Reds since the last time we recorded, and then they split a 4-game series with the Marlins over the weekend. They have the first of many crucial series against the Atlanta Braves this week as we record this on Monday night, July 11th. You may not hear this until Wednesday, but this is being recorded on Monday, very special Monday recording. And they are currently winning 2-0 Max Scherzer over Max Fried, the duel of the Maxes. And obviously can't overstate how important these games are against the Braves, as they have just a 1.5 game lead on Atlanta currently. So these games are going to be intense.
Please win this one. That would be really awesome.
There's a lot of balls in
for
this
for all our sakes. We'll just win this one for our mental health.
Yeah, seriously.
It's been a week, y'all. I would really take a Mets win.
I'm just enjoying all of the balls in this game right now.
Yeah,
I missed yesterday's game because I went to see Thor, so my vibes are still high because it's like yesterday never happened.
That's good, because yesterday was not good for the vibes.
I forget what Gare said Fried's walk rate was at the beginning.
It was pretty low.
It was pretty low, and he's had how many walks in this game? Let me go check. He's had quite a few.
I think it was 1.4 per nine.
Yeah, I was going to say one. I knew it was like 1.49 somewhere in there. So he's had 4 walks in this game thus far.
Yeah, that's Fried is so far. I mean, obviously Fried is an ace. And so even when he's not at his sharpest, he's able to limit damage for the most part. And so, like, you know, it's not like the Mets have like really pounded him by any stretch of the imagination, but Fried is not at his best in this
game. Working him though.
Yeah. They're working
pitch count.
And hopefully he will only last 5 innings, which would be great for the Mets.
He is at 91 pitches right now.
Excellent.
And who's their closer? Because Jansen's still on the IL, I think.
Well, Matzik's back now, but I don't think he's been closing. Very, very exciting radio as I find this out.
Welcome to the Apato Figures It Out segment.
Figure It Out was the show. So Roster Resource has AJ Minter and Will Smith both listed as closer.
Okay, that might be Will Smith.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, they have Matzik's back now. He's one of their like chief setup guys. Obviously, Colin McHugh's one of their chief setup guys.
Oh, I like him so much. Why does he have to?
I know. Why didn't the Mets sign him?
I mean, they have a great bullpen.
They do. They have a very good bullpen.
They were worked last night. I don't know who was in. I just know that it was quite a few extra innings.
Yeah, but the Mets don't have Diaz.
Probably not. He only threw 7 pitches.
I was going to say, he only threw 7 pitches, so there's a small chance, but hopefully maybe the Mets will make it a moot point and to score a billion runs.
Let's have Luis Guillorme hit a dinger right here.
Take
it out of the save situation.
Well, we have some more balls running around here, so yeah, I just want to say the word balls too much. I'm a child.
Very mature Kellyanne
episode.
I'm a child.
But one thing I did want to mention about the past week's worth of games, other than the fact that the offense has been like very feast or famine lately, is that obviously on Saturday the Mets retired Keith Hernandez's number, and that the ceremony was wonderful, I thought. Just like really well done.
Mm-hmm. They always do a good job with those.
Yeah, they're very good at that. And I cried a lot watching the video. It was like a really nice video.
And the whole idea behind great. It was really nice.
It
was really lovely. That was long overdue. We've talked about number retirements on this show in the past, and in my opinion, Keith Hernandez was, other than David Wright, the most obvious number retirement that they haven't done already, and was absolutely long overdue. So it was nice that they did that. And then of course they followed that up with winning the game in extra innings in extremely dumb Mets Marlins fashion.
It was such an anti-Keith game.
It was such an anti-Keith game.
Bundies were awful. It went on so long. Like, he wasn't even in the booth and I could just hear him sighing through the ether.
But it was also like an 86 style game. It was like Mookie in reverse.
But
But
he did not watch it live, in person. He saw it again, as he did in 86, on television. which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. And there was the fun fact that the last time that the Mets won a game in extra innings with two outs on a walk-off error was game 6, 1980.
I mean, that's spooky.
That parallel is pretty freaking funny and cool. And
spooky, like Maggie said.
Spooky. I mean, Keith talked about the current team and how, you know, he enjoys watching them play. So that was like a really cool thing that he said during his speech. And I think that the guys appreciated that.
And also they were all lined up to walk him off the field, which I thought was a really cool thing.
I think Buck Showalter told them to do that. Not that they were like reluctant or anything. I don't think.
But Buck was like, get up there.
I think that was very much a Buck Showalter thing. Yeah. And I think it was good.
I don't know what just happened. It was all bad, though.
Well, here's something that's not bad, Lynn. JD Davis just got a hit.
No, he didn't.
Spoiler alert.
No, spoiler alert, he did not get a hit.
What? Then what's in play, no out? Is this
They're
lying
trying to
me?
Determine how many outs he made.
No, they're not.
Wow, that's a play I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Oh my God. See, I'm just on game day right now, but it says no outs. So
Robinson Cano is smiling, which can't really be a good sign right now.
Robinson Cano is batting ninth for the Braves tonight. The Braves just brought him up, and it's a troll move, and I respect
it. Classic troll move. I will get. I'll even actually give them credit for that. I respect them for
immense respect for the troll, and he's already gotten a hit, obviously.
Of course, I think the only hit still.
No, don't say it. Don't say it.
It doesn't. It doesn't count as a jinx of a one hitter.
I know, but oh my God, I don't want. Okay. Okay. Oh.
See, it is.
So this just lied. It literally says in play, no out on this right now.
Well, that was a lie. Yeah. They should
game day. Game day, get your shit together.
The game and day, you know, folks, are like, we don't even know what's going on with the Mets.
I'm right just going to take a picture of this just so you guys know I'm not crazy.
No, I believe. I mean, I'm watching game day too, and it did say in play, no out, but clearly it did not know what was going on.
Oh, I was so excited to tell for Lynn on this one, and it lied.
Yeah.
And it lied.
Other reasons why it is pretty crucial for the Mets to win this game and do well in this series is that, you know, they don't have some of their best players. Obviously, they've been without Jake DeGrom a long time, but some other guys are hurt now. Even though Max Scherzer is now back and currently pitching in this game, hooray. They don't have James McCann, who's back on the injured list again, with an oblique strain this time. He was part, along with Luis Guillorme, he was part of a crucial play in that game on Saturday where, you know, Jesus Sanchez was coming home with the tying run and Luis Guillorme made an excellent relay throw to James McCann, who reached kind of like back across his body in order to make the tag. And, you know, he made the play, but it cost
him. Before that, it was the whole thing.
I mean, I'm 37. I know exactly that move.
like you twist your body around.
You've done before, but your back is like, nope.
You twist your body around and your side is just like, ow.
I once sneezed while I was talking to the kids in the backseat and I still haven't fully recovered.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So
what happened to like Marte? Like, well, I don't know how he got hurt.
Unclear.
Fine.
it was between innings that he came out of the game.
Yeah, but all he did was strike out, and then like he was never in a play or anything before that. Like he played multiple innings after he batted.
I think everybody thought at first that he had the runs.
Is it a COVID thing?
Unclear.
Whatever it was.
I will continue to bang the gong for Wilson Contreras. Get him over here. The Cubs are garbage. We need a catcher.
He's going to cost.
I was going to say, at what cost?
I mean,
if it stops the Alvarez chatter right now, because I'm excited for Alvarez. Don't get me wrong. I'm so excited for him, but not now. And it's really like there's a starting to be like a worrisome clamor for him.
Oh, there is. I think now the McCann's out long term. That's absolutely going to be the narrative now.
Right, of course, and it's because like you know, as much as I enjoy Mazzika magic, Patrick Mazzika is not a major league player.
No,
and
Nito's not a starter.
And Nito's a perfectly good backup. But having him as the everyday catcher, I mean, I think that if the rest of the lineup is doing its job, having Tomas Nito as the everyday catcher is not that big of a deal. But the problem is that Patrick Mazzika has to catch sometimes and he's not a major league player. And the Mets cannot afford, if they are unwilling to promote Francisco Alvarez, which it seems like they are, regardless of whether you agree with that or disagree with that. That's a different topic of debate. But the Mets seem unwilling to bring him up. Therefore, they need a better solution.
Yeah.
Right now. They do. Yes. And Wilson Contreras will be that, but he's going to cost. And the Cubs know the Mets are desperate, which is not a good position to be in when you are trying to make trade.
Yep.
But it is what it is. They should trade for Wilson Contreras because they need another bat anyway. As we alluded to, Starling Marte is also not playing currently, but unlike James McCann, he has avoided the injured list, it seems. It seems like Starling Marte has dodged the injured list like the Matrix all year. It's like he'll constantly like tweak a little muscle like every few weeks and it'll be like, oh no. And then it'll be like, oh, but he's not on the injured list. He'll just sit for 3 days.
So who's the one that's going to hit like the back-breaking home run, Darnell or Cano?
Oh, stop. Don't put it in the world.
Linda, I swear it's gonna happen. I am going to drive up to your home and steal your cat.
No, I was gonna say I'll hold a Maddie to like we'll hold you off.
No, Maddie will not hold me off. I will just play some classical music for her and take her with me.
Like Linda's not allowed to watch the game during recording anymore.
At the risk of uttering famous last words here, I do not think. Now, listen, this is not me saying that Robinson Cano is not going to get a big hit in this series, because believe me, I'm expecting it. But I do not think he's capable of like a home run really right now. Like, is he capable of, you know, dribbling one to the right side with two men on? And
is he capable of hitting a ball that the Mets field it becomes an inside the park home run?
Can I just say his WRC plus right now? Just guess without looking at Fangraphs what it is.
Negatives?
-29.
It's eight.
Eight.
It is eight.
Okay. That's better than I thought.
Good for him.
he's in the plus side.
He is on the plus side.
I mean, he was hitting .333 at AAA. Like, it's not
but it's the Pacific Coast League.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was .333, and wasn't his OPS with that .333 like 700?
Yeah,
it was like bad. That.
It's all singles. So, point being, Travis d'Arnaud is going to be the one to hit the breaking homer. Well,
easy question to answer. Actually,
I just want to say, Game Day lied to me again and said that Travis got a hit, and
he did not.
He lined out. I screenshotted that too because this is going to be a running theme tonight. I think
it was definitely a like hold your breath line out.
It was. Yeah.
But like Game Day guys gotta cool it with whatever he's working
on. Game Day's a Mets fan and just panicking.
Just got no idea.
Love that image of just a Mets fan like sitting in the control room of Game Day and being like, hit.
Like he's too busy freaking out to update Game Day.
On deck, not this guy again. In the hole. Oh Christ, that one.
Like, oh, freeze
out.
Shit,
guys, no. freeze out. Yes.
Freeze out of the game. It makes me think of the opening credits of Monty Python, where it's like the person responsible for the game day captions has been sacked. The person who replaced the person who's been doing the game day captions has been sacked.
And these credits have been done at an extremely rapid, I don't remember the actual thing, but then it's that like, oh my God, that crazy colorful one.
The crazy colorful one. My favorite. My favorite one is the like Swedish one with all the like the moose in it. Anyway.
Oh, the moose.
Yeah, the moose. But so the Mets are without James McCann and for a long time, and Starling Marte for a little bit, and also Jeff McNeil for a little bit, because Jeff
McNeil,
for
the best reason though.
Of course, yeah, of course. Okay. Jeff McNeil's on the paternity list, which is great and awesome. And yay, we love that. But it's not good for the Mets lineup at this time against the Braves, which, you know, it's fine. It's fine. They will survive. But the bottom of the order right now is currently, you know, Tomas Nito and Travis Jankowski and Luis Guillorme. It's just like,
although Travis Jankowski has looked legit on multiple at bats, not that one, but
no,
I just saw Travis Jankowski grounds out
at bats.
Guillorme's been good too. Today.
Yeah, Guillorme's been good too. So you know, but they will, you know, getting those guys back will make a big difference. And you know, hopefully the Mets can still pull out some victories in this Braves series. They should start by winning tonight when they have Scherzer on the mound.
Yes.
And Fried out of the game early.
Yes.
Good stuff. But the other big kind of story this week in Metsland and in all of baseball is that All-Star rosters were announced yesterday. The Mets have 4 representatives, none of whom were voted in as starters, but were named either as, you know, replacements or named by the commissioner, or, you know, the pitchers always get picked. Not by the people of America. So we've got Edwin Diaz, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, and Starling Marte are the Mets all-star representatives.
Hard to argue with any of those 4.
Yes.
Yes.
Great, great, solid players. Very happy to have them repping the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
Fun to watch. And arguably there should be more.
Yeah, all of them have been great this season. I mean, we'll get into each of them a little more, I think, at least a few of them. But I mean, Edwin Diaz was obviously, you know, a no-brainer. And then you've got Pete Alonso, who, if it wasn't for the fact that Paul Goldschmidt is probably going to win the NL MVP, like, Pete Alonso would be the starting first baseman. And Jeff McNeil is hitting, you know, .311. This year with like an 800 OPS, and Jazz Chisholm is the other second baseman who got voted in, deservedly so, because Jazz Chisholm is great. But Jeff McNeil is like far and away the next best choice after him. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Starling Marte, who's having a fantastic season, playing like every facet of the game well, fielding well, hitting well, you know, not stealing bases at quite the clip that he had been in his previous elite stolen base years, but still always a stolen base threat. So just, you know, a great representation for the Mets for once, instead of every year, it's always like, all right, Jacob DeGrom and anyone else, you know, it's
Daniel
nice.
Murphy.
Yeah, Daniel Murphy. It's nice for the Mets to have like more than their like bare minimum one player.
Yeah.
You know, it will also be fun to see Pete Alonso defend his home run derby title for a third straight year. Hopefully he will win again. That would be great. Already
the Alonso Acuña rivalry is starting on MLB.com.
We love it.
And Jones is pitching to him again.
Again, yeah, which is great.
Yes, which is excellent. I thought he wouldn't be able to, because I think, is he still with the Nationals? I know he was in the system at the beginning of the season.
No, I don't think he is.
Good. Out of there.
I'm really here for Pete Alonso, home run derby king. Yes. I want for like 3 years from now for them to just officially disqualify him. I think then he will have won like all like finished the home run derby completely, and we can all enjoy that.
Yes.
This but is my first year. My niece is into baseball, so this is like, she's excited. Pete's into it because this is gonna be the first time she watches.
That's very cool.
This is so exciting.
He has the win now for her. She didn't get to see any other wins.
He will. Like, there are a few things. He's just so confident about the home run derby. And his body is literally
in his element, really.
His body is built for that. And it's in his element. It's a show for him. And he loves performing. And that's a good thing. I don't say that in a bad way. It's great. He has fun with it. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
And doesn't he hit well at Dodger Stadium? Or am I making that up?
I think he hits well everywhere, but I do think Dodger Stadium is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Just in case you guys didn't see the full rosters, I mean, I'll link them in the show notes, but just a quick review for the starting players. We've got Wilson Contreras, no brainer. Paul Goldschmidt, no brainer. Jazz Chisholm at second, no brainer. Manny Machado at third, no brainer. Trey Turner, shortstop. Ronald Acuna Jr., Jock Peterson and Mookie Betts as the outfielders, and Bryce Harper as the DH. Bryce Harper is hurt. And so William Contreras will start at DH with Harper sidelined, which is very fun because the Contreras brothers get to play together as all-stars, which is very cool. And then we've got Albert Pujols as the legacy selection, and he will participate in the home run derby as well. It was just,
which I think is awesome.
Yes.
Very fun. and then, I mean, as much as I like personally, you know, as much as Albert Pujols personally offends me, it's good for baseball, I think.
Yeah.
It might be like a sad showing, though.
That was
maybe he still got it. I don't know.
Thought as well. We'll see.
The bat speed doesn't need to be there for you to turn on.
No,
batting practice
pitch. Yeah, I think someone had tweeted like, "I hope his pitcher is a lefty," which seems like pretty safe bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the reserves in the NL are Travis d'Arnaud, obviously Pete Alonso, as we know, and Jeff McNeil and Starling Marte, but also CJ Cron, Nolan Arenado, Dansby Swanson, Kyle Schwarber, Ian Happ, and Juan Soto. So a good group, honestly. I don't think that there were many misses here or like huge major snubs, given the construction of the roster and the fact that you have to have one from every team. And I forgot to mention the starting pitchers, Sandy Alcantara, Corbin Burnes, Joe Musgrove, Max Fried, Tony Gonsolin, Luis Castillo, Clayton Kershaw, and the relievers are Josh Hader, Edwin Diaz, Ryan Helsley, David Bednar, and Joe Mantiply. I forget how to pronounce his name, but he's had a good year for the Diamondbacks.
There's the whole argument also if, like, do you go with Sandy Alcantara or do you go with one of the Dodgers since it's a home game?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going with the best player, it's Alcantara.
Go with Alcantara too.
But I also feel like if there's a time for doing something just because it's nice, then this is it.
I kind of feel like that's
what the All-Star game is for like, oh, wouldn't this thing be nice?
Like, because didn't Scherzer start over Jake 1 year when it was in at Nationals Park?
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, Matt Harvey started at Citi Field.
Yeah. So there is.
Harvey was arguably the best pitcher, though, that year.
There was a little competition. I know there was
Kershaw
again.
And Kershaw. Kershaw was another, yeah, that was another that monster year for him.
Yeah.
We decided as part of a kind of fun exercise that we would each name our personal Mets All-Stars. And this doesn't necessarily mean we think that these players are like the best players on the team. It just means like who have been, you know, the Mets like kind of MVPs of the first half. Who do we want to shout as like guys who maybe should have made the All-Star team and didn't, or guys that did make the All-Star team and why they deserve it. So we decided to each pick one position player and one pitcher as our personal Mets All-Stars.
Okay, just quick update. Cano popped up to short. It was a week.
Finally.
Oh, and it actually is accurate in play outs. Yay.
In play outs.
And in about 10 seconds, I will be able to confirm that for you. Catches up. Oh, yeah, there it is.
There we go.
Lindor was on it.
Lindor was on it. Good. So Maggie, we'll start with you. Who are your personal all-stars?
Sure. Well, I wanted to go as on the pitching side. I wanted to kind of shout out someone who I think has been, who's been underappreciated in some ways, but really has stepped up when he was called on. And that's David Peterson, who is kind of killing it this season. His ERA is about 3.5. He wasn't even necessarily going to be in the rotation when the season started, but he has really held down the fort there all season long so far. And, you know, to the point where at, you know, when they do have their full complement of starters again, your question is like, oh, what should we do with David Peterson? And not like, okay, good, we can send this guy back down. Like, yeah. He's really, you know, made a case for himself to be a part of this pitching staff, which was not necessarily going to be the case. So, you know, he's certainly not like their best starter, but I think he is someone that should get a little love at a time like this. And then on the position player side of things, I picked Brandon Nimmo, who is not having his best year ever, but he is having a really solid year and, you know, still going in there, you know, with the, his OPS is 785 right now, which is like nothing to sneeze at in this current run environment. You know, well above league average. And his work in center field has never been more apparent all season. Yep. He looks like he really belongs there and not like he's just sort of faking it. And, you know, he's just, he drives everybody crazy, and that's wonderful to see. I love a guy who drives other teams crazy. And he's just doing it. You know, he's got the walks up, the strikeouts are down this year, which is great to see. Like, he's really putting it all together, just in time to go get a big fancy contract, which he fully deserves. So yeah, go Brandon Nimmo.
Yep.
Woo. Only song on Saturday. You put it in play. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which he did.
Yep. That's been the Mets mantra all season long, and it has mostly worked for them.
And I think it was Tacoma who tweeted, like, he was really like busting it too. So that put the pressure on the, yeah, on the pitcher. So it's like when you,
yeah,
that hustle also makes a difference.
Yep. And you can, and Brandon always runs every single time.
Everything.
You can never sleep on him.
Yep. And anytime, even if it's a walk.
Even if it's a walk.
Most famously, if it's a walk.
Yes. Yes.
Which drives Braves fans crazy for some reason.
Then I like,
oh, everything more. Drives Braves fans crazy. Good God. Please.
Yes.
Sorry. I am really sour on Braves fans right now for reasons I will not mention on this podcast.
I'll mention a reason, which is that they do the tomahawk chop and it's racist.
Yes.
Amongst other things. Yes.
That's a very good reason.
Yeah.
We could just like start and end on that one. And just like,
yep. That's all. That's all you need to know.
That's all that needs to be said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Linda Cervich, who are your personal all-stars?
It is kind of cheating, but from the pitcher side, I got to give it to Edwin Diaz. Yeah, because we've mentioned it on this podcast before about how everybody was so down on him for so long. And now he's finally, like, he's probably the best closer in my lifetime, like, this the season he's having now. Like, Familia had one good season. What was it, 2016, I think?
2015. Right. The 50 saves.
He was good in 2016, too.
Yeah.
So he had, a decent stretch. And I just could never get behind Benitez. He was too scary, but he actually did have a good season. If you look at his numbers, he did have a good season once. Franco was always all of it. But Wagner was good, but it was never consistent. And like, if Diaz stays,
he was hurt so much.
Yeah.
And like, I'm hoping he can finally be that like closer they've been missing for so long. And I mean, he's just ridiculous. What is he, like, striking out, like, 50% of his batters or something?
Over 50%.
Yeah. Like,
it's just crazy.
So, I feel like Diaz is just on another plane of existence.
Yeah. He really is. I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm scared. I'm going to hide, but in a good way.
It's video game stuff right now. It's just
They have no chance when they're up there. Like, you see people play, like,
It's a cheat code. It's like you're playing MLB the Show. Like,
well, and it's a testament to how good major league hitters are that they put get the bat on the ball
at all.
I mean, I in my wildest dreams, I cannot imagine fouling off a Edwin Diaz pitch.
I would be terrified.
I could do it for a year, and I would maybe at the tail end grab one of them. But that's...
I would try to bunt, and maybe.
I would just run back into the clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah, I would just
I'm laying down my bat. I'm just take me out. I'm not even gonna try.
Like we said, like when during the no hitter, those were some of the best hitters in the league. Like that's a terrifying middle of the lineup, and none of them had a chance. They went up there with no chance of getting a hit.
Right.
Insane of how what kind of level he's on right now. And he's done it for the whole season. Like, I don't know. He's only given up one run in his last, like, 17 innings or something crazy like that. And I think the one run was when they were up by 3, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
It's nice seeing him finally flourish here. And he said he was open to an extension recently. So.
Yes, please. Yes, yeah, please. Bring him back.
At Mets,
bring forever. Him back.
Yeah.
Give him all the money, back up the Brinks truck. I'm a little biased because in our Amazing Avenue bold predictions before the season, I predicted he would be the best closer in the league, and I want that to stay true just so I can, you know, pat myself on the back.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, I would pat yourself on the back right now, personally. Yeah,
like, I called it. I never stopped believing in Diaz, and everybody who did can go sit in the box of shame right now.
Yeah, put the cone of shame on all of you.
Yes.
This podcast has always been a pro-Edwin Diaz podcast.
Yeah, so, if you ever booed Edwin Diaz, you don't get to celebrate him now. Those are the rules. So that's my pitch on the pitcher side. And then on the hitter side... It pains me that I can't say JD Davis.
I'm sorry.
I'm no, sorry. Linda, you cannot say JD.
No, you absolutely can't.
Way I can spin that one.
He's just had it rough.
He had a grand slam.
He did have one really
good day the other day.
And he had one.
I wish he turned the corner on that one, but it seems like it's a flash in the pan right now this year.
Moving on.
Sorry.
My hitter is Mark Canna.
My dude.
Yes, Maggie's dude. I'm stealing him from Maggie.
There's enough Mark Canna to go around.
Yeah, but we can all enjoy the Mark Canna. He kind of reminds me, like, the at-bats he takes, he kind of reminds me of John Olerud a little bit. Because he's never out of an at-bat, and he'll battle you, and the power hasn't been there totally. I think he has like 4 or 5 home runs.
Yeah, not that many.
But, you know, he's always, you know, battling the pitcher, working, like I said, working at bats. He'll take the walk if he needs it. And he's solid in left field. Like, he's not anything special, but he'll get it done. And he's just like he's not the flashy guy, like Fonzie or Olerud. Like, Piazza was always the one who got all the headlines, but you need those other guys if you're going to be successful. So, I think he's been just like a sneaky good pickup for them. Like, Scherzer will probably get all the headlines, but you know, he makes them deeper and he's a threat. Every time he's up there, like, he doesn't give away at bats, which is when this team has like no bottom half of the lineup, they need to capitalize with the guys at the top. And he definitely helps to do that. So way to go, Mark Canna. And he's just a good dude. Like, he's
he's a really good dude.
And yeah. And like, he's just fun and a good addition. Like, you know, I mean, it's not a qualification that you have to be a good dude, but you know,
but it makes it makes rooting for a player that much more fun.
It does. So and is he here for longer, or is this
yes
yeah okay
yep.
so
got another year after this, right?
At least one, I think.
I think one, yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like there's an option. I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong.
I thought next year was the option.
Let me see. I'm going to go peek.
They signed him to a 2-year deal, but I think.
Is there the.
Oh, then the team option. That's yep. Nice. Yeah, I forgot about that.
All right.
Love that.
Thank you for joining us for Apato Googles It.
Yes, it is. Yeah, 2-year contract with a 2024 club option.
Oh, wait, that was just him. Yay, he got a hit.
As we see.
See, he knew. Wait,
he heard Linda talking about him.
See, I can't trust Andy right now.
Hold on. I don't know. I don't know who to believe. I'm sitting here and I see a 1-1, 1-1 count. And oh wait, he got a hit.
Play no out.
I was gonna say I can't trust when game day says no, play no out. I'm not gonna trust it right now.
Not gonna trust it. Kellyanne, who are your personal all-stars?
So for pitchers, I want to say I had a tough time. Just because I love Tyler McGill, but he's injured. So I also loved what Taijuan Walker has been doing this year. He's been such a consistent pitcher, so he is my all-star personal pick.
And he Taijuan could very easily be a real all-star.
I think he was snubbed I think he's gonna make the roster eventually once we find out who's not gonna go and whatnot. But he's been, other than I think he had one bad game, like really bad game in May, he's been such a consistent pitcher. And honestly, given Scherzer's been out, DeGrom's been out, McGill's been out, the starting rotation has been in kind of a crazy flux. And like David Peterson, Taijuan Walker has, for me, done a little better than expected. Maybe that's just me. But he's got
easily forgotten about.
I think that's the whole thing. He's easily forgotten in amongst the big names. I mean, Scherzer again and DeGrom, and you had Miguel with a combined no hitter. So
he's kind of doing what Stroman did last year, while the best pitchers in the world are going up and down around him, he just like went out there every 5 days, stayed healthy, threw good pitches. And that's just what the Mets needed. And so far, Walker's done even better than Stroman did last year. So,
yep. And he basically has had the exact same first half he had last year, which he did make the team last year.
Hopefully that holds over in the second half. Crossing fingers.
Yeah, that's what we really need.
But he's been absolutely wonderful and a joy to watch and pitched a gem yesterday that unfortunately the Mets pooped away.
Yeah,
of course. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but when you can match Sandy Alcantara, he was awesome. Wow. He was awesome. So that's my pitcher, and my position player is, I don't know if this would count as cheating, but it is Starling Marte. He's just been wonderful in the two spot this year. His defense is like not the greatest, but I mean, who cares about defense right now? Cause he's been honestly great
offense. His arm has been really good. Though.
His arm's really good. I'm kind of just like staring at Fangraphs and maybe Fangraphs is lying to me a little bit with his defense. Cause it has his defense. Like
ignore partial season.
Yeah.
Defensive. Go with the eye test, Kellyanne. What is your eye test?
I know. Okay. I'm going to go with the eye test on this one. Cause he's been a fine defender. Like not
well,
great.
It's his first season terrible. In right field consistently. That's a big change.
And that is a big change. But anyway, forget about defense. It's the offense. that's great. He's got a great WOBA. He's got a great OPS. He's got a great WRC+. Even just the surface stats, his BA is great. I just said BA instead of batting average. Oh my God, I'm so tired right now, you guys. But anyway, Starling Marte.
His bat is really off the charts.
He's just great. And I'm so glad that he got the all-star nod. It's well-deserved. And I hope he comes back very, very quickly from this groin minor whatever this is, because he's very much missed right now over these past couple days.
Absolutely. Yeah. They need him in that lineup.
They need him in the lineup for sure.
So my personal all-stars, I'll make the pitcher quick because I have the same one as Linda, which is that my pitcher is Edwin Diaz, which I know is very much a cliche, and he is the sole pitching representative for the Mets, but I can't help it. He's just been so freaking good. And like, where would the Mets be without him? They would be nowhere near where they are right now. He's been like literally the only reliable presence in the bullpen the entire season. Like, there have been other guys who have been good for periods of time, but Edwin Diaz is the only one who's been good the whole season in the bullpen, like, period.
And not just good, elite.
Elite.
Even when it's not a safe situation now.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, demons. Oh, you can't pitch when it's not a safe situation. This year he's been good in all situations.
Yeah. Which, oh my God, is so, like, wonderful.
So can we send enough with the Cano trade? Can we put that to rest, please?
You mean like the Edwin Diaz trade?
Yeah, right?
Not if Cano hits the big home run against the Mets, Linda.
Not putting this out into the universe.
Oh. Linda, you're done. You're out of here.
I didn't say it this time.
Ejected. Get out of here.
But to kind of expand upon what Linda was saying about how Diaz has been open to an extension, that was a story this week. And I'm just like, yes, back up the truck. Like Linda said, give him a blank check, give him whatever he wants. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, where the Mets are kind of in this weird position where they aren't very good at developing relievers, but they don't believe in paying relievers lots of money. And so it's like that leaves them with like this like weird in between where they end up like, you know, not building all that good of a bullpen often. But I think you got to make an exception for Edwin Diaz, because other than like maybe Josh Hader, there is not a single closer in the league that I would take over Edwin Diaz right now, as far as like who you trust in high leverage situations. It's Edwin Diaz. He's the best reliever in the league, like, period.
That's so good for him. Like, he never, like, he struggled obviously when he first came over, but he never let his frustration show. He never got too down on himself, and like, and you know, he was treated hostile. There was a hostile crowd from the beginning because they were so mad about the trade, but he never took it out on the fans. And now this year, it seems like he's just happier and
so much happier.
Now he's even open to the extension after how he was treated here really speaks volumes about him.
Yes.
And he's really happy that he can finally like give the fans like a reason to be like, he was like, I'm proving that this is the all-star you traded for. And he's right.
No, now I love him even more.
I know, it's great. He's great.
I mean, I also just want to say, since he brought Narco back, he was doing a lot better last year too. Just saying.
I did a whole article on that. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the research, people.
Linda proved it with science.
I did.
My position player all-star is Francisco Lindor, who I think I wouldn't say he was snubbed, because the two shortstops that made it for the National League are Trey Turner and Dansby Swanson. And those are probably the only two shortstops in the National League that have been better than Lindor this year. And so I'm not saying that like they don't deserve it and Lindor deserves it instead, but I just like, you know, he's been almost just as good as those guys. And like, I'm sad.
On, like, an unbelievable run.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just sad that Lindor missed out on the All-Star game. It wasn't necessarily a snub or an injustice, but I'm sad about it. And Lindor has been fantastic this year. He's, you know, he's still whatever it is, like eighth or something in the league in RBIs. Like, it's he's not that far behind the top RBI leaders. Like, Pete Alonso has 70 and Lindor has 60, which I think is just one less than Trey Turner has, who's the one who made the All-Star team.
I think combined they're like one of the highest in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the only pair of teammates to have.
Don't look. Turn it.
They're the only pair of teammates to have 60 RBIs each, Alonso and Lindor, before the All-Star break. Right now, in baseball.
And Lindor is so badly served by the offensive environment. Yeah, no, I saw that one coming.
That's
I told you to turn it.
Sorry, I just let out this very last scream. I'm sorry if I blow out anybody's ears on that.
Austin Riley hit a homer.
It's really easy to kind of like, you know, shrug at his raw numbers, but like, you know, his WRC plus is 112, which means that he's like 12% better than average.
Mm-hmm. And with his
and that's
defense,
everybody, not just and I was elite gonna defending say, shortstops.
I was gonna say, and I like, I don't mean to, I do care about the offense, but I don't care about the offense just because it is such a joy to watch him defensively after having so many years of like a black hole and being concerned that the middle infield couldn't even complete a double play.
Yep.
Yeah, well, he just does it all.
I'm not here for the takes because Jimenez made the All-Star team.
I'm happy that Jimenez happy made the All-Star team.
But Mets Twitter is going to turn it into something it doesn't need to turn into.
They absolutely will. But I don't care.
I wish Gimme was still on the team. I called him Gimme a man after midnight. Okay. Anyway, but I was very like wary when they traded both shortstops, and I'm so happy we have Lindor, but I do miss Jimenez, and I'm very glad he's doing well. I'm happy that he made the All-Star team, and I'm glad he's not in the NL East doing this, because then I would really be not happy.
Well, then we'd never hear the end of it. God.
Yes.
Yeah. So the other storyline having to do with the All-Star game that we want to talk about this week is that the Dodger Stadium workers have voted to authorize a strike ahead of the All-Star game, which good for them. and like, just want to read
specifically their concession workers, I believe.
Yes.
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 The concessions, the food and beverage stands, operated by concessions giant Compass Group and Levy Restaurants. Those are the two specific groups. And so they're trying to negotiate a new union contract. And you know, stadium workers are not treated very well. They don't get paid very well. They obviously we talked about this during the pandemic. They got massively screwed by the pandemic, and by the like non-baseball season. And like they should strike to get what's theirs. Absolutely. 100% support it.
And the MLB Players Association has come out on their side, as they should. I mean, yeah. That's a big part of what makes unions powerful, is their willingness to back each other up. So hopefully that indication will give the Dodgers the little nudge they need to just like take care of this.
Yeah. Like, please, you have the biggest payroll in baseball. Like, you can just simply pay your workers fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, clearly difficult. You need them. You can't not have an All-Star game without concession workers. So,
well, I'll read the Players Association statement, because I think it really says it all, which is MLBPA stands in solidarity with Dodger Stadium concessions workers represented by Unite Here Local 11. Like thousands of ballpark workers across the country, Local 11's members are a vital yet underappreciated part of what makes our game great. They deserve to be treated fairly and will continue to have the 1,200 members of the MLBPA behind them.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, but you want your hot dog and beer at the game,
mm-hmm.
then maybe treat the people who give them to you good. That's what I would do.
And I want to read one of the quotes. There are a few different quotes from the, like, you know, the media release about the strike from the union like leaders. But I want to read this one because I think it's super powerful, from Sylvia Sosa, who's a bartender for Compass Group. She said, "The Dodgers are my life. I even took my engagement pictures at Dodger Stadium. I proudly served Dodger dogs and beers for many years. And I want our company, Compass, to recognize our worth and raise standards for all of its stadium workers." So like, this is someone who, like, these people deeply care about, you know, the team and the work, and they're just asking to be paid fairly. So you know, yeah, get it together, Compass, and the Dodgers, and you know,
this should not be that hard of an ask.
And we look forward to then letting you guys know at the next podcast that all has worked out well.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, and then it's also, I was there at the game on Saturday. Obviously, it's not an all-star game, but it was a sold-out crowd. It's the second largest crowd of the year. And those guys hustle. It's a hard job. Mm. They're on their feet all day. They're dealing with drunken idiots all day in the heat. So come on.
And a lot of, they've been working short-staffed. I know when I went a couple weeks ago, they were very short-staffed.
Yeah, probably because of COVID.
Yeah.
That's still a thing. Like, give them a break. Come compensate them fairly for their time.
Yes. So hopefully that will work out, and they will negotiate a fair deal. So we'll see on that. We'll keep you all updated. But in the meantime, we will end the show this week like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Linda Surovich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Oh, perfect transition, saying I was there Saturday.
There you go.
I'm sorry, Allison. I know you really wanted to go.
I know.
But it really was a really nice day. And I really thought Keith was going to cry, but he held it together for his speech. It seemed like he was more emotional beforehand. But also what I think got everybody too is when Piazza said, I think number 8 is here looking down on us.
Yeah.
I thought that was really sweet. And poor Tim Tuffle too, after they introduced Mookie. It's like, you can't follow Mookie. Like,
yeah, right.
I was like, poor Tim. Like, oh, he was there too. So yeah, we all went crazy for Mookie. And you know who also got a really loud cheer? Buck Showalter.
He sure did. Yeah, I was going to say, I heard it on TV. That's for sure.
He got like the second loudest cheer behind Mookie and maybe Piazza. But so the game was, it was good. And like we said, it was just, it was like shades of 86 of how they went. Like, it was just like, but of course, it had to be a stupid Mets Marlins game on top of everything.
Incredibly dumb.
Yeah. So, like, in the future, can they please stop planning these things against the Marlins? Pick any other team, for God's sake.
The Marlins are just cursed, man.
Gilly? Did Luis Guillorme just hit a home run?
Hey, hold on. There's nothing happening. I know. He's facing O'Day with an 0-1 count. What?
Holy shit.
Whoa, look at that.
I mean, no, oh, you know, God. What? I felt that it was in him tonight. I was like, he's going to get a home run at some point in this game.
Man, you know who is the happiest person on the planet for Luis Guillorme? Is Max Scherzer.
Yes.
Yeah. I was about to say Papa like Guillorme.
8 different curse too. Words and his eyeballs almost fell out of his skull. I love Max Scherzer.
Speaking of man, it'll be nice back-to-back home runs right now.
It would be nice, although
as Travis Jankowski walks up to the plate.
It was Travis. What? It was JD.
Did Jankowski just make a goof? No. Okay.
No, isn't it JD at the plate? Or is
yeah, it's JD.
It's JD at the plate. Okay, yeah, it was right just, now. It was Travis moving across the screen. Anyway. My bee.
Well, if JD had walked off,
sorry for this JD erasure.
Yeah.
Gosh, Maggie. I mean, it's bad enough he's schlumping so
hard.
I
know. Now you want him off the team. I'm offended. But if he had walked off the game when I was there, because Pete struck out, I think, in the bottom of the 9th, and then JD was up after him, I was like, I will be arrested if JD is away.
Linda's going to go shrieking on the field.
So, like, it's probably for the best that he struck out.
Oh,
and then
man.
They won it in stupid fashion, so it ended up working out for everybody.
Yep. Just the silliest game. But
I'm glad I did not get arrested at City.
For Keith, they did only bad fundies.
Only bad fundies.
In honor of Keith, or in dishonor of Keith.
But I was a little upset because where my seats were, I was underneath where the retired numbers were, so I couldn't see them like pull the little thing down.
Oh,
I could watch it on the screen, so that was kind of a bummer. But that's okay. Other than that, it was, and it was a beautiful, beautiful night too. It was like the perfect day for a ball game. It wasn't too hot. It was, you know, there was a nice
breeze. I was going to say there was no humidity, right?
No, there was no humidity.
Wow, chef's kiss on that one.
Yeah, and then as we were leaving, like, everybody was chanting, like, Keith Hernandez, let's go Mets. And then all of a sudden, Yankees suck broke out. I'm like, no, they don't suck.
Can we?
It always pops in every now and then.
Can we not make, like, this day about the Yankees? Hate the Yankees suck chance. I hate it. It's so annoying.
No point to it. I was like, why? And then that evolved into fuck the Braves.
I will accept the Yankees suck chant in one situation and one situation only, when the Mets and the Boston Red Sox are playing each other.
Oh yeah, that's always fun.
That's always fun.
I get that was good. I liked that's fun. But just random, like when the Yankees are not involved, just like randomly at a Mets game. Like, can we not? Like, the Yankees are not involved.
Yeah, I was just living my life, going about my day, and all of a sudden it's the Yankees. Like, no, that's not. I didn't sign up for that.
No, I especially on such a nice Mets
day.
I prefer not to think about them at all. So
no, I was like, we just had a big win. It was a nice day. And now you're bringing the Yankees into it. Why? Don't do that in the future. I don't care how many beers you've had.
Well, you know what? Let's bat them out of this podcast and talk more about Keith, who's fabulous.
Okay. Yeah, and it was nice. Like, then he got in like the little like golf cart and they drove him around the stadium.
So that was cute. It was like, really, really cute. Yeah.
It is. It was such, we were field level, but like we were in row 30. So we were kind of far back, but it was still nice. I'm like, maybe he saw me waving. Like, there's a chance he saw me. And he did. He looked like he was just over the moon. He was like beaming the entire time. And it was nice, you know, seeing Gary and Ron. And I think it meant a lot to them too, because they all are really close. So I think they are one of the longest tenured booths now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just,
they're getting close to 20 years.
Yeah. I think they said what, 16?
Yeah, because I believe it was 2005 or six they started, right?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I think they said it was around 16. But the Mets always do such a good job with those things.
They are very good at that. The ceremonies and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, just as a small tidbit that I still love seeing every time, I still am a little, I shouldn't be floored by it, but I am, is Steve Cohen wearing a Mets cap whenever these events are happening. Fred and Jeff Wilpon never did this. I never like recall them even seeing them in a Mets hat.
And then he could be wrong, but too.
Yeah, and then he was cheered instead of booed.
Oh, and of course, Mr. Matt had his mustache on, which is also a nice touch. So, I mean,
and
even
Keith's
like
mustache also very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were playing 80s music throughout the game.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that part.
Oh, it was awesome. Yep. Oh, I was in my element. It was awesome.
I like to imagine they were all doing bumps in the locker room just to get the vibe. Probably why the fundies were so bad.
Yeah. Well, and then Pete also had the on greenies. Stirrups. Pete went stirrups too.
Yes, he did.
Yes, loved the stirrups.
The look was great.
Yeah. So yeah, Pete hitting the home run, Lindor hitting the home run. Like, it was all just, and then I think it was Aguilar that hit the home run.
The game tying homer. That was Aguilar. Yeah.
Yeah. So then the person caught it and then everybody's like, threw it back. And the person didn't. So I was like, you know what? I applaud that decision. How often do you get to catch a home run ball? Who cares who hit it?
Yeah.
That ball. I support you. So if you're listening right now, I'm glad you kept that ball. Didn't bow to peer pressure of every, and then everybody started booing. I was like, no, leave the poor guy alone.
I'd keep the ball.
I'd keep it too.
Yeah.
Unless it was like someone I like truly hated. Like, I have no hate for Jesus Aguilar, so I'm gonna keep that ball.
He's just a dude.
He's very nice and fun.
My kids definitely would not give a shit who hit the home run ball that I brought home from the stadium.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
It's a home run ball.
Yeah. So yeah, stop booing people for keeping home run balls. And then a foul ball got hit near me. It was literally like right now, like in the like section over. and a guy caught it, and he gave it to the little kid sitting in front of him, and the kid started to cry.
That's so cute.
And he had these glasses. He was so cute. I was like, oh, that was my like heartwarming moment of the day. So it was just like the perfect day at the ballpark, except for when I thought they were going to lose in the bottom of the 10th, and I'm so aggravated. Nito was up.
Oh my gosh.
You know.
And then so my second love, well, good day, Keith Hernandez, totally deserves it, Keith. I hope you enjoyed your day too. Well, my second walk-off win is, well, the day before, Liz Callaway, who plays Anastasia in the movie, or she was the singing voice for Anastasia in the movie. She tweeted she was singing the national anthem. I'm like, no, I'm gonna miss you by one day. So then like we were tweeting back and forth to each other, and then she followed me.
That's very exciting.
I was like, oh my god,
that's the best. How many
times I've sung like Once Upon a Dream off key, like that was my childhood. Like I love, like 12-year-old me is probably like insane right now, because like the person from one of my favorite movies from my childhood is now like following me on Twitter. Like, this is like, my mind can't comprehend this. Like, this is the world we live in now where that's possible.
She's the best.
She is, and yes. She's such a big Mets fan. She loves
huge Mets. Yes.
Yes. So she's always tweeting it about the Mets. She tweets at Howie Rose a lot. She loves Howie. I love her, and I'm dying that she followed me on Twitter, because I did see her at Thor Bobblehead Day. She sang the national anthem.
Yes.
I was there for that.
I was there for that as well. She was very close. I was like, I was sitting in the, I was like, I think like 16 rows back behind home plate.
Oh,
I had freaking great seats that day. And she was in my line of sight, not many feet away. It was wonderful.
Well, I was down the right field line, and they're like, oh, here to sing the national anthem. Like, I think they even mentioned, like, she plays Anastasia, and, like, Liz Calloway. And I started, like, screaming. I was like, it's Anastasia! And, like, nobody else around me cared.
Be perfectly honest, I don't know who she is, but she sounds great. I'm so happy.
You've never seen Anastasia?
You've never seen Anastasia or the Swan Princess?
I saw it when I was, like, 10.
Yes!
Yes! Okay,
we need a watch party.
We do. Dimitri is the best. I love Dimitri.
Yeah,
and
Dimitri.
The cast is amazing.
Yes, yes. Oh, I mean, God, yes.
It's not historically accurate whatsoever.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no. Just divorce it from any sort of reality.
That's not what Disney movies are for. It's not a Disney.
It technically is a Disney movie.
It technically is a Disney now, but at the time when it came out.
At the time when it came out, it was not.
Yeah, so you just have to take it for being a movie, but not, but like if it was just a Disney princess instead of like historical events, you have to ignore everything else.
Unless you want to research Russian history, Revolution.
I watched a movie like one night not too long ago, and then I fell down a rabbit hole. I shouldn't have done that before bedtime.
No, it's awful. Rough. It's rough.
Yeah,
this is walk-off wins. We're not talking about
We're not
Rasputin right now.
No,
Rasputin on walk-off wins. But
in the dark of the night.
Oh my god,
the music is so good. Oh.
It is really good.
One of the best soundtracks for a Disney movie
ever.
Yeah.
Maggie, I know that your walk-off win is also Mets related, so why don't you go?
Yes, it is relevant. My walk-off win is just the existence of Max Scherzer on this baseball team.
Yes, preach it.
Boy, I mean, you know, the team did a really good job of holding it together in his absence, but having him back is just such a great feeling. And he has, he's made his mark. It just, you know, the two starts that he's had, and granted, I am aware that he lost his first one, but like, he just looks fantastic. Like, he never missed a beat. He looks fully healthy, and just having him around, like just now, you know, cheering for Luis Guillorme, like, you know, his life depended on it. It's just a really wonderful thing about him. And his vibes are just like off the charts. So happy to have him here on the Mets. It felt like a very long time that we didn't have him, and now he's back. So
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the way all I have to say about Max Scherzer.
He brings that swagger back too.
Yeah.
And the way that the other pitchers learn from him too, like Chris Bassett even said, and obviously Chris Bassett's also a veteran. And Chris Bassett said, like, I don't think I've ever learned more about pitching than I've learned this year.
Yeah.
Because of, and that's a big part of it is Max Scherzer being on this team.
Although it was weird, like when I was at the Keith Hernandez game, my Facebook reminded me I was at Citi Field on that date in 2016 watching the Nationals and Max Scherzer was on the mound.
That's crazy.
And it was the most awful game you could imagine.
Was it one of his no hit games?
No, it was
no.
I saw his no hit
games. Logan Verrett. You can.
Oh God.
Oh,
that's rough.
Yeah, you can.
Logan Verrett was good in Colorado for that one game.
Yes,
I actually quite enjoyed Scherzer's no hitter against the Mets since the Mets had already clinched at that point.
Yeah,
it was blanket giveaway night at the stadium, and it was a really nice blanket that I still use. So that's
love it.
Those are my feelings about Max Scherzer's no hitter. Of like, yeah, that was great.
I think it was Mets Fedora night. But it was awful. Verrett was awful and Scherzer was Scherzer. And then we got caught in a bad thunderstorm right as the game ended. So we had to run to the car. It was awful. I think Murphy had two home runs. But all's forgiven, Max. We love you now.
Yes. Love to watch Max Scherzer when he's on your team and not when he's on the other team.
Yes.
Hooray, yes.
Makes a difference.
Makes a big difference. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I'm going to keep mine short. I have a patron at my library who is teaching me Kannada, which is an Indian language that has, I found out today, 49 letters. And I am panicking. I was like, no, just teach me. Because it's broken down into three levels. There's the upper, middle, and lower. I'm just like, teach me the upper letters today. Cause it's 14 upper letters, 25 middle letters.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
So the way you write it out, there's like different ways to write it out. I have to show you because it's really hard to explain without the visual. So I'll post a video of a visual in our Slack and online on our tweets tomorrow. So it's obviously a very, very much different language than English and the English alphabet. And I forget what the actual like alphabet is called because multiple European languages use our alphabet and Indian languages use about a gazillion different alphabets. So it's really a privilege to learn from one of my patrons and that my patron feels comfortable enough with me to share that with me. And it's kind of a reciprocal thing because I'm helping her with English as well. So I love library interactions like that. They are really what make me love my job so much. So that's really, really fun. Hard, but fun.
I love that.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
It's like
amazing.
It's like fun. Like you don't always get to like flex that part of your brain as an adult. So it's always nice to like learn something new.
Yes.
My log off win for this week is for, I mean, obviously you guys know last week when I did the show, I said I was on the COVID injured list and I was on the COVID injured list all week last week. And it caused me to miss the Keith Hernandez game. I missed the Keith Hernandez game because I was on the COVID injured list and it sucked. And I was so sad. My parents were there. Michael was there. Michael's mom was there instead of me. I'm glad that they had a good time and I'm really happy that they got to go, but I had the worst FOMO of all time. This morning I tested negative for the first time since I first got infected, like over a week ago. And so I was so nervous about it because we're going to Chicago tomorrow for 5 days to see the Mets at Wrigley, among other things, and just do touristy things in Chicago. And I was so nervous that I wasn't going to be able to go. And I got my negative test and I can go.
That is fantastic. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm feeling a lot better. Thanks to everyone who like sent me positive messages and everything. Like it really helped a lot. I appreciate it. It's been like a really rough time lately. And so the support means a lot. And I'm really happy to get to go on my Chicago trip tomorrow.
Yes, enjoy and relax. You've earned it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That does it for the show this week. You can go to amazingavenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We've written up the Mets All-Stars, other news posts, analysis, game recaps, morning news posts, weekly meters, all that good stuff over at Amazing Avenue. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow three of the four of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Servish.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
You can follow, not follow Kellyanne, but you can find Kellyanne in the Amazing Avenue comments. And you should go there and be nice and don't be a troll.
Please don't be a troll.
You can email the show aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. Please subscribe to the podcast Amazing Avenue Audio wherever you get your podcasts from. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there's no crying in hockey.